So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and a new one's just begun. So this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. To the near and the dear ones, the
Well, happy Christmas, everyone, with love from the Flaming Lips and Yoko Ono and your friends at I've Got a Beatles podcast.
Yeah. Annual Christmas gifts episode. I also recognize it as it's also sort of a year in review of Beatles releases. So whichever you want to think of it as, if maybe you don't give Christmas gifts, you just want to think of it as year in review. But a lot of music released this year.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you actually step back and look and see just how much is out there. Because, you know, looking back to February of this year, that seems like a long time ago. But yet, you look back over 2014 and there have been pretty significant releases in albums, in books, in DVDs, and all the above. So our goal today is to give you some gift ideas, but also, as Chris said, kind of let's take stock of what's been released this year and see what are kind of the most important releases that every Beatle fan should have.
Indeed. Well, I think there's no better place to start than the biggest, most expensive release from the Beatles this year, which is the Beatles Mono Vinyl Box Set.
Yes, this is a big deal because, you know, of course, in 2009 we had the remastered versions, and they had the stereo and the mono for CD, and everybody thought, okay, well, this is probably as much as we're going to get, and then they released the U.S. albums, and sort of they keep going back through the archives here and re-releasing things, but then all of a sudden, this year we have the Beatles Complete Mono Vinyl Set, which has every album up to the White Album. And how much does that
through the White Album?
The White Album included. How much does this little nice little set go for?
Well, currently, right now, right this minute on Amazon, it is listed at $331.35.
Wow. Okay.
So, now that's for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You can buy these individually as individual mono records. Now, if you remember back when we talked about the stereo vinyl box set, there was a lot of people not pleased with it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the audiophiles were not pleased with it because it just basically came from the 2009 remasters, and they just basically put that onto vinyl. And the vinyl lovers were like, no, that's not good enough because it is coming from a digital source still. Mm-hmm. And we want our vinyl pure.
Yes.
So they were enraged. Well, this set does fix that problem if you have a problem with it. I'm going to read from the insert that you get if you buy any of these. This album was cut for vinyl from the original master tapes by using a completely analog signal path and with constant reference to the notes made by the cutting engineer for the first pressing of the LP. It has been made with current technology and without imposing the restrictions necessitated by the limitations of record players in the 60s. Consequently, this version reveals more of the content of the audio on the master tapes. Hmm. So now I was skeptical.
Yeah, for good reason. Yeah.
I'm a skeptical guy. But I have listened to at least versions of this, a recording of the vinyl version of this, and I was just blown away by it. It sounds the best I've ever heard the Beatles. These are their original intent. You know, they used to pay so much attention to the mono mixes and then not even be there for the stereo mixes. Well, all my life, all I've been hearing is stereo. We talked a little bit about this in the last episode or one before that.
Yeah, Sergeant Pepper, we talked about it.
Sergeant Pepper, yes, mm-hmm. About how amazing the mono mix was. Well, wait till you hear the mono vinyl mix, because it's really spectacular. Particularly Rubber Soul, I was listening to. I got a copy of it from a friend. And, oh my lord, it's so great, so fantastic. Let's hear a little bit of it, and then we'll talk more about our thoughts about this mono set.
Is there anybody going to listen to my story, all about the girl who came to stay? She's the kind of girl you want so much it makes you sorry, still you don't regret a single day. Girl, girl, when I think of all the times I've tried so hard to leave her, she will turn to me and start to cry, and she promises the earth to me and I.
Well, that does sound really good. You can really hear the instruments so distinctively, each layer, with the acoustic guitar, the drums, the bass, and the background vocals, and John's voice on top. It just has a really pristine clarity to it.
Yeah, I had really not even really thought about this set at all.
No, because it's so expensive, right?
I was just like, yeah, we've gotten enough of releases of this, and I'm not really as much of a vinyl guy as you are, Dave.
Yeah.
You've got quite a nice collection.
Yeah.
As I visited you
in
the summer, I was quite impressed by it.
Oh, thanks. And that's actually one of the good things about this set that annoyed me about the mono CD set is you could not buy individual albums. You had to buy the entire box set, and it was very expensive. Now it's not as bad, but still, now you can buy, as Chris said, each of the albums individually. And so that makes me more inclined to try one out on my record player and see how it actually sounds. So if this is any indication, I'm pretty excited.
I hardly can contain myself. But,
you're very excited about this.
I'm very excited about it, but at the same time, I'm like, $331, dude, is a hefty price.
It is. And that's if you want the whole kit and caboodle, but... Yeah. As we said, if you try one out, if you have a record player, try getting one and see what you think. So that's what I'll be doing, and I'm excited to hear your reaction and hear some of the great reviews of that that set.
There's another box set that came out. Also not very price...
not friendly on the friendly.
Wallet. And it's a Beatles Japanese box set. Which includes the first five Japanese albums and memorabilia. What do you think that one goes for, Dave?
I don't know. Can you get it here, or do you have to buy it in Japan?
No, you can get it here.
You can get it here. I'd guess for five albums, probably $20 a piece, so $100.
$115.
Ooh, okay. Oof.
So pretty hefty.
Yeah.
Price. I'm not sure who would necessarily want these, but maybe if you grew up in Japan and are now a Japanese American and remember those ones. I also, it's very curious that a couple of discs are in mono and a couple of them are in stereo.
Okay,
just kind of an odd mix, but
if anyone gets that set, let us know.
Yeah,
because friends in Japan, we'd love to hear from you on this one.
So those are the two big Beatles releases of the year. We talked about the big Beatles DVD release.
Yes, we had a good long review about the Hard Day's Night reissue, and it's on Blu-ray and DVD, and we gave it definitely two big thumbs up for that. So if you haven't picked it up, this would be a great time to get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of Criterion Collection sales going on. So where Criterion Collection discs are usually a little bit pricier.
Yeah.
So catch one of those Criterion Collection like one day sales or something, and that's the time to get that if you haven't got it.
Definitely. Good. So any other Beatle releases? We've got a lot of books, I think, would be next on our list.
Yeah, there's a lot of books, Beatles books. I was going to mention one called The Beatles and Me on Tour, written by Ivor Davis. Ivor Davis was a then reporter for the London Daily Express, and Beatlemania was already in its full throes when Ivor Davis joined the Beatles on tour in 1964 for sort of the West Coast part of the tour. And his book looks to be a sort of day-to-day kind of retelling of what it was like and where they were at, the venues and different, you know, his personal experiences with that. It looks like a pretty good read from the little sampling I got of it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
That's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and, well, we can alternate here and go through these. The first Beatle book on my list is called The Beatles Encyclopedia, Everything Fab Four, by Ken Womack, who is a Beatles scholar who hosted the conference in Pennsylvania that I presented at, and where Mark Lewison was and all of the other great people that presented there. Now, this one's pretty pricey. It's about $189 retails for.
Wow.
But the write-up, I know. Ooh, you could easily get cut into the thousands with our list this year.
Yeah. We'll give you some cheaper items.
We've got some cheap ones coming. But this one, the review of it says, the ultimate reference for any fan, this two-volume set lists every Beatles-related topic from A to Z. And it has entries on everything. So Ken Womack is a top-notch scholar and a really brilliant guy. So I'm sure it would be wonderful. And if you can't afford it, maybe you can suggest it to your local library.
Yeah.
So the Beatles Encyclopedia.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. So what do you have next?
Well, this is a one of these. Now we mentioned one of these last year. One of these just Kindle-only books.
Uh huh.
But this one really intrigued me for obvious reasons, because anyone who's ever listened to this show knows how much I love duds. And this book from Michael Witherford is called The Very Worst of the Beatles.
All right.
And it kind of is a sort of humorous take on some of the worst Beatles songs, in his opinion, and some of the worst cover versions. You know, we've talked about a few of those as well. So, and it's only $4.99 Kindle price. So,
wow, that's a good one. I wonder if they picked some of the same ones that we did.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they would. Be a lot of agree to disagrees on there too.
Oh yeah, definitely. So good. That sounds like a fun one. Another one that is probably should be in every Beatle fan's collection is the Hunter Davies new book called The Beatles Lyrics: The Unseen Story Behind Their Music, which came out in September, and it's a collection of lyrics, as it says. But of course, Hunter Davies was the only, to this date, only authorized biographer of the Beatles as a group, and goes through the archives, and it just somehow acquired a lot of the originals and handwritten copies, and it looks like a very beautiful book with stories behind how they wrote songs, as well as lots of replicas or, you know, facsimiles of the actual lyrics from Paul, John, George, and Ringo. So that's one I definitely want to get, and I'm looking forward to it. It's only runs $14.44 on Kindle, but I don't know if you can see things very well. Probably be nice to have the hardcover for that. So, Hunter Davies.
Yeah. My next pick here is from Anthony Rubistelli, who is doing, it's called I Want to Tell You, The Definitive Guide to the Music of the Beatles, Volume 1, 1962 to 1963.
Wow, whole year.
So it seems like this is one of several volumes going to come out. It looks like, and I've looked into this book a little bit. You can do that look inside on Amazon. And this one looks really good. It looks like each track is really like, it gave you every piece of information you could ever want to know just about.
Dissected.
Like, yeah, what instruments are being played and a little, you know, looking at it from every angle, not just a recording angle like some books have, not just a, well, this is what they were doing at the time like other books. It looks like they just really, you know, dig in depth about every single track. So I Want to Tell You.
That sounds like a good one, too.
Yeah.
Then my final choice is a book by someone who gave a talk at that conference in Pennsylvania. His name is Aaron Krerowitz, and he talked about something similar, or from this book, probably. That's called The Beatles and the Avant-Garde. And it really intrigues me because he's a classically trained guy, and he looks into how the Beatles were influenced by avant-garde music. Now, everybody knows that, you know, John Lennon was inspired by Yoko and her sort of off the wall or off the tradition, off the beaten path kind of art. But he has a chapter on each Beatle and their interest in avant-garde things. So the Carnival of Light montage that Paul McCartney put together, and some of George's work, which we'll come to later in this podcast. It's pretty avant-garde. And then, of course, John, and then some Ringo as well. So The Beatles and the Avant-Garde. It's a paperback as well as a Kindle book, and by Aaron Krerowitz. And looks like something I want to check out.
Yeah. And, of course, if any of you don't have the Mark Lewisohn book, I think we both recommend that.
Yeah.
It's quite a read.
Yes, it's a tome.
Yeah, you're gonna be like, I've been reading it for a long, long time, and I'm still anywhere near being done with
it's, it. Yes.
And there's two more volumes to come. Too,
it's an investment.
Time, that's for sure. Now, I really feel like this year has come full circle for us, Dave.
Oh yeah,
because early in this year, if you remember, we did a podcast about an album called Dark Horse from one Mr. George Harrison. And I was lamenting at the time that, man, we really could get a... It was very difficult to find it, for one. And when I got it, I was like, so many songs really sound like they weren't mixed very well. And
yeah.
We could really use a fresh version of Dark Horse. Well, here we go.
Were they listening to our podcast? I think they must have been.
They must have been. Yeah. I think they were. Yeah,
I do. We like to tell ourselves, but yeah.
We should have been more specific, though,
yes,
about what we wanted out of the Apple Years from George Harrison, six albums plus a DVD.
Yeah, this was some years ago. They did the Dark Horse collection, which did all of George's albums from 33 and a third on up all the way to Cloud Nine and Live in Japan. And so covering those albums, remastering and just cleaning them up. But we wondered, well, when were they ever going to do Dark Horse and Extra Texture and the early albums? Well, here they are. And I'd say the reviews of this set have been fairly mixed. I think you would say that probably the same thing. They say they sound great, and the albums were, as you said, definitely in need of some cleaning up. But there's one thing that aggravates a lot of Beatle fans, including us. And what is that?
Lack of bonus tracks.
Yeah. Pretty skimpy.
Very skimpy on the bonus tracks. Only one or two per album. And this collection gives you two albums that you probably don't want.
Or at least you won't listen to very often.
What albums are included in this?
Well, it starts out with the first album by first solo album by a Beatle, actually, which is George Harrison's Wonderwall music, which is a soundtrack to a movie that's kind of Indian influenced, kind of a East meets West sound. So that was from 68, and that's followed up by Electronic Sound, one of the two Zapple releases for Moog synthesizer. And then followed by that, you actually get
you
the,
spin that one a lot.
Yeah, that I constantly play that one. Yeah,
yeah. That's the real chore of this. Yeah. I mean, it's like you're not gonna play Electronic Sound very often. You might toss in, or if Wonderwall music track comes up in a shuffle or something,
yeah,
you might be like, oh, that's a refreshing little thing.
Yeah,
but it's the first two records you've mentioned, and it's basically hardly anybody's going to want those.
No, and then the next two have already been re-released and remastered and cleaned up. All Things Must Pass, and then Living in the Material World, which sound a lot better in their when they were remastered. But one of the reviews I read said, has technology really changed that much in the past 5-6 years that we needed a new reissue of it? So, you know, yeah. There you go. And then the next two, of course, are Dark Horse and Extra Texture, which were definitely in need of some updating. But again, the good thing with this set is that you can buy individual albums. So if you don't want those early ones, you can get them, and you can get Dark Horse or Extra Texture individually.
Yeah, and if you're really, 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 really dying for Ding Dong King Dong,
yeah,
you know, for Christmas,
yeah,
you want to hear that in its freshest form.
Yep.
Then go ahead.
You can get it.
But yeah, that's what's on the DVD?
The DVD. I don't know what's on the DVD actually. What is?
Looks like some videos, like a mixture of some, like, Ding Dong, Ding Dong, and a few other videos.
Like promos.
Promos. So it's like, well, it's, okay. I mean, it's a sad thing. We were speaking off air the other day about how many George bonus tracks there seem to be just sitting around never having been released.
Yeah.
And it would not be nice to, and we got a whole disc full of them on Early Takes,
right.
Volume 1, so it would be nice if they would have included a little bit more of that here.
Yeah.
One that they did include here is a pretty good version on Extra Texture of This Guitar Can't Keep From Crying. Let's hear that right now.
Notable version of This Guitar because it was recorded in 1992, actually. It was re-recorded, I should say, and for a demo for Dave Stewart, who plays electric guitar on it, and then recently...
Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics.
Yes, of the Eurythmics, correct. And then 10 years later, after George, I believe after George had passed away, received overdubs by Ringo on drums, Danny Harrison on guitar, and vocalist Cara Dioguardi. So, a kind of a group effort on this one, and it's a little bit different feel than the original song, but I like it.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Not too bad. But, sadly, like we were saying, it's pretty few and far between the bonus tracks. So I guess our recommendation on this one is get Extra Texture and Dark Horse as single albums, because fortunately they did release all of them as single records you can get, so you don't have to get the box set.
Yes, I would heartily concur with that. Yes.
The only other George-related release I could find is the 30th anniversary concert celebration of Bob Dylan. Deluxe edition now on DVD and Blu-ray, which, of course, George plays My Back Pages. And
with a lot of other people on that.
A lot of other people, and he plays a couple other tunes on, mm-hmm. on there, I believe. So.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that.
Yeah, that'd be a good one to have as well. So, yeah, George's big thing was the box set. So that's what it is. Not much for John Lennon this year in terms of albums.
Not much for John Lennon.
No, at all.
as far as albums go. As John Lennon's son did have a release, we talked about that, Ghost of the Sabretooth Tiger, and we can now report Ghost of the Sabretooth Tiger, as far as Rolling Stone says, is the number 33 album, best album of the year.
Yeah, so, all right. So, well, good claim to fame there.
Yeah. Rolling Stone thinks it's the 33rd best album of this year. So, yeah. I liked it more than you did when we did the review. Go back and listen to that review, everybody.
Yes, definitely.
Now, there, as far as a book release for John Lennon, there's a really good one about to come out. It comes out on the 23rd. So,
wow, good for Christmas, last minute gifts here.
Be out in stores, like... you know, fighting crowds out in stores. But it's John Lennon, the collected artwork hardcover book. And it looks like a pretty good, a beautiful collection of all of his little drawings, especially if you like that kind of stuff. It would be terrific. It's only under $30. And it looks like a pretty good one.
Yeah. Yeah, really the only... Besides that, the only John Lennon release at all was put together by a company that's called Icon, John Lennon Icon, and it's intended to be for people who, it says, the greatest hits series at a great low price. And so you can get a bunch of Lennon tunes, pretty familiar, all the famous ones, for about $9 or less. And so... pretty great if you don't really have a John Lennon collection, although I think of any Beatle, he probably has the most greatest hits re-releases, and there's like Lennon Legend and the John Lennon Collection, and you know, there's a zillion of them, but
yeah,
you might look into that one. I saw it at Target the other day, so they're out there, and Ringo has one as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure about those. I haven't dug into those. I did see two other John Lennon books I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
One is we thought the three volume Beatles thing was pretty comprehensive. This is a book called She Loves You, the John Lennon series book 3 by Jude Sutherland Kessler. And apparently, this is book 3 of something like 9.
Wow.
On just different periods in John Lennon's life. This covering right around the 63-64 period. So that's... and the Kindle version of it is only... it's under $10, so that's good.
Yeah.
And then there was one other book, The Making of John Lennon, The Untold Story... The Rise and Fall of the Beatles by Francis Kenney, hardcover, and that's sort of somewhere in the $25 range. And I quite honestly haven't really looked at that one, but
well, we might as well move on to Ringo, because the Paul has the most stuff, and so we want to spend most of the time on him. We'll give Ringo. Ringo's not much to say about Ringo here. We'll close up with him today, but. Just want to mention a little bit of Ringo here. We have a Ringo Icon CD set for all you Ringo fans out there. You can collect all of his greatest hits. And then I know Chris was really excited about this one, because last year I mentioned that they remastered and re-released the Magic Christian DVD, which was features Ringo's acting and a pretty good song in there, Come and Get It from Badfinger. But also, this year it was time to do the next movie here, and so we have, for the low, low price of $9.99, we have Ringo's version, or Ringo's acting performance of Blind Man.
Oh.
Yes, and I bet you, I know you've seen that 100 times, but just in case.
Just refresh my memory.
Just to refresh you, here's the plot. A blind but deadly gunman is hired to escort 50 mail-order brides to their minor husbands. And that's M-I-N-E-R, husbands. When this blind but deadly gunman is double-crossed by his friends and a Mexican bandit, he heads for Mexico to settle scores and save the women. Based in part on the true 1860s-era story of Texas blind man Luis Alcante. There you go. Pretty crazy. And Ringo plays, as the review says, "You will be hard-pressed elsewhere to find a fully blind hero or a Mexican bandit played by a long-haired lover from Liverpool." So,
wow.
So there you go. Now's your chance to get blind man and see Ringo being a Mexican bandit.
Well, I'm going to race out to stores. Think
about yes, that. Race out and get that one now. So there's your Ringo for the year.
I only have one Ringo item as well.
Uh-huh.
It's a book. Where's Ringo?
That sounds
Find
fun.
Him in 20 pieces of Beatles-inspired art.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Hardcover book. It's sort of like Where's Waldo, but more fun because it's Ringo.
Yes.
More peaceful and loving. So that's,
Good to hear.
A quiet year from Ringo as far as now. We mentioned last year that photography book, which does sound like it's a real gem, and I still haven't purchased that, so that might be
his former girlfriend. That's right.
Yeah, it might be one. Go back to last year's episode.
Yes.
Hear us talk about that. Well, Paul.
Yes, Paul's been a busy boy this year, hasn't he?
Not a quiet year from Paul, nor from Wings.
Right.
So let's start with the two Wings releases here. Released the same day, this is what drives me crazy about this Paul stuff. He released all this stuff like within the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like just a dump of stuff on everybody. the Paul McCartney collection has grown by two. It's the two Wings releases. The first one we'll talk about, Venus and Mars. The Venus and Mars collection here, you got a newly remastered Abbey Road Studios copy of the album. And you got a hardcover book with 128 pages.
Oof.
A second disc of really, the Venus of Mars one has a bunch of bonus tracks, like really good ones.
Yeah, very good ones compared to George.
Yeah. And then the DVD, which has Recording My Carnival, Bod Voyager, Wigs at Elstree, and Venus and Mars TV ad.
Yeah.
So if you really need that Venus and Mars TV ad, make sure you get the box set with the... And these box sets are a little more reasonable. In past years, we really lambasted the price of some of the previous releases, but these seem to be appropriate for the quality of album. Which is this one, Venus and Mars, $66.27.
Yeah, that doesn't seem too bad compared to some of the other ones.
This also available, not in box set form, in two disc form. Really sounds great. Really a quality recording, a very much needed and very beneficial to how I think of this album remastering session. Let's hear the track Letting Go from Venus and Mars.
Yeah, that I really like this. I've always been a big fan of Venus and Mars, and when I heard the new version, it was like hearing it again for the first time. There's all these percussion instruments in the background, and you hear Paul's bass so much better. You get the great guitar work of Jimmy McCullough and Denny Lane, and it sounds great. It has much more punch to it than the somewhat lifeless reissue or original CDs. So I'm a big fan of that, and I think that song you picked was a really good one to demonstrate how good it sounds.
Yeah, it's really the height of Wings, really. This album, yeah. You know, Band on the Run, obviously, but this
touring
this album
group.
Is great, and it gives us so many. Even if you're like, I'm happy with my previous copy, get the deluxe of this, because you get a whole second disc. I know Lunchbox Odd Socks might be Dave's favorite bonus track of all time.
Yes, and Hey Diddle.
Hey Diddle.
Yeah.
But even those sound fantastic on this. I mean, it really sounds very good, very well done.
As does the next one, which came out after. It was the album that they took on the road for Wings Over America, but this was Wings at the Speed of Sound from 1976, which is kind of a mixed review album also, in history at least, because Paul gives all the members of the band a chance to sing and write, and that may be dubious results with that decision, but had a bunch of big hits on it, and I don't know.
Let Him In's a huge one.
Silly Love Songs. Yeah, there are a couple of real popular tunes. Beware My Love is a good one. And this also has some bonus tracks and a deluxe box. So you want to tell us about the deluxe box?
Well, the bonus tracks on this, there's only 7 bonus tracks, but one of them is like spectacular, which is John Bonham from Led Zeppelin playing on Beware My Love. Pretty good. And really, honestly, the Silly Love Songs demo is so sweet to hear, because it's him and Linda, and you know they're just kind of noodling around on it. The box set has 7 unreleased bonus audio tracks, a DVD featuring previously unreleased footage of Wings in Venice in 1976. A behind-the-scenes edit of the Wembley shows in 76, and the Silly Love Songs music video, and then a 112-page hardbound book containing memorabilia, images by Linda McCartney, and a new interview with Paul McCartney. Okay. So, you know, it's that, if you want that book, you gotta pay. I feel like the book is $40.
Yeah.
It's basically what they tell us in this.
Yeah.
So, if you want that book, then buy the whole thing. If not, this one I'd recommend less than Venus and Mars.
Yeah, just get the download.
But let's hear a little bit of one of those where someone else sings on it, and that is this song called "Cook of the House."
About you, but you know, we're recording this around dinner time here. I'm starting to get a little hungry.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's like, what do I add in the fridge?
Yeah. Linda just gave us some good ideas for dinner, though.
Yeah. So those are the two Wings releases. Pretty good, both of them. Well worth the releases. What are the next two coming up of the Paul McCartney Archive Collection?
I read conflicting reports about this. I hear it's going to continue with the early Wings versions, or early Wings albums. So with Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway are supposed, that's one story I read. Mm-hmm. And then I also saw somebody saying that it's going to do the last two Wings albums. So London Town and Back to the Egg.
Oh,
so,
we both can't wait
can't
for those,
wait for
right?
those. Yeah, right.
So give me I don't some know. Egg. Maybe Back to the Egg will come in one giant egg, like as a package.
That would be great. It'd be a big egg with all the stuff in it. Yeah.
Speaking of egg, an album that right now might have a little egg on its face from some of the reviews is an album called The Art of McCartney. What can you tell us about The Art of McCartney, Dave?
Well, it's a weird one, too. The idea was to take Paul McCartney's catalog, his songs, and then have all of these old and new artists record them. So do a whole album of cover songs that apparently was approved, or that McCartney had some hand in this. And so you've got really old rockers like Brian Wilson and Bob Dylan, and then you have kind of middle rockers like Billy Joel and people like that, and then some more contemporary people. And I think the reviews have been, as you said, pretty mixed. And in fact, the ones I was reading were very scathing, actually. Kind of like, what's the point? And these versions are so bad, a lot of them. But I know you're probably pretty sympathetic to some of them.
Well, yeah, it's a real mixed bag.
Yeah.
But as a fan of McCartney and as a fan of the Beatles, it's probably worth getting to hear some of the tracks. There are a couple instances. Hello Goodbye featuring The Cure with James McCartney is an interesting one. The Corinne Bailey Rae version of Bluebird is really good. And there's a couple instances even where maybe that person should have sang it in the first place. So Bad, featuring Smokey Robinson, it's
That's
one
perfect.
Of them.
Yeah.
And it's just a terrific version of it. And a great example of that is the one we're going to play here, which is probably the best track on the album, which is Wanderlust, done by, let's see if they can figure out who it's by.
Yeah,
I'm just going to play Wanderlust for them, and then we'll talk about who it is.
Is certainly familiar.
Yeah, Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
Wanderlust. It's really great, and particularly later where there's some backup vocals. It's just perfect sort of Beach Boys sounding stuff. But there's other things that are very curious, like Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction singing Got to Get You Into My Life is
right.
A little odd. I think the biggest complaint I've heard, and the one I agree with the most about it, is that it's just sort of most of these tracks are exactly like they are from Paul, but with different people singing it.
Exactly, like cut and pasting people's vocals in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just be very honest. Billy Joel is, I don't like his version of Maybe I'm Amazed. He sounds like he's sort of screaming it. And Bob Dylan's version of Things We Said Today is...
Oh, brother.
Yeah, you know, it's a great song, and just I'm not sure that's the right person to sing it. Well, or bark it out, however. And I'm a big Dylan. Well, both of us are huge Dylan fans, of course.
Yeah.
But it just is a mismatch again, so... Yeah.
Here's the other thing I don't understand. At the end of this disc, there are a couple things that they just call bonus track.
Yeah,
exclusive. And it just seems random. Yeah. It's kind of like, these two are bonus tracks. Like, what? What? Can you not get them on the other version of it? I don't know. It's just...
Yeah.
It's pretty mixed bag.
Yeah.
But maybe actually the recommendation here is download individual tracks.
That's it, exactly, yeah. And then that means you can get a song by friend of the show, Jeff Lynne.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Jeff Lynne's Junk is actually pretty good.
Yeah. That's actually kind of funny the way you say that.
Jeff Lynne's Junk.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So,
Now... Dave has saved his money for an essential purchase, which is the hard cover book collector's addiction. I said addiction. That was a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to be addicted to buy the another version of New.
Yes.
This one with a disc 2, which has several bonus tracks, including Struggle, Hell to Pay, and Demon's Dance, all of which you could just listen to on YouTube.
Right.
And then some live versions of Save Us, New, Queenie Eye, and Everybody Out There. But otherwise, just doesn't really do very much.
No. Again, for the completist, unless you... Or if you don't have New, if you never bought it for some reason, you might want to get the full edition and then have the complete set like that with the book to go with it.
Well, yeah, I'd say, yeah, do that. If you haven't bought New, then you really haven't been listening, paying attention to us.
Yes, you should have gotten it a long time ago.
Quite some time.
Right. Yeah, so that's, again, you wonder, like you said at the beginning of this segment on Paul, it all just this big dump of stuff here coming out within the same month. That was October 27th. And then the Wings and then the Art of McCartney, it all just came out in November. And just like too much almost.
Yeah. Now, Paul's got one more track floating out there that's a new one. Well, most of our listeners, I'm sure, are big video game players.
Yeah.
Right? And if Shirley played the video game Destiny.
Sure.
And not only have they played the Destiny video game, they're going to go buy the Destiny soundtrack. And you'll be treated to a song for Paul McCartney called Hope for the Future. Let's play it. Why not?
Some wait for the call to say that the days ahead will be the best of all. We will build bridges up to the sky. Heavenly lights surrounding you and I.
What do you think of that one there, Dave?
Well, I'm going to not offer an opinion, but I will tell our listeners that you can buy in January a Hope for the Future 12-inch vinyl $9.98 from Amazon.
You're not going to offer an opinion? You don't like to say the word dud?
Well, I was going to say it sounds like a song from New that was maybe left in the on the cutting room floor there, maybe.
I think they told Paul write a song about destiny.
Yeah.
And he thought every cliche he could think of. We'll build a bridge to the sky. Heavenly light will surround us.
Yes. Hope for the future.
For the future. So a little bit of a dud.
A little bit of a dud. So yeah. But Paul was a busy, busy guy, and not to mention all of his concerts too. And we talked about Japan earlier. He is going to make up those Japanese dates that he had to cancel.
Oh yeah,
because he was sick. So to our Japanese friends, you get excited because Paul will be back in 2015.
Now, I just want to mention a couple Paul books here that are out. One is called Man on the Run, Paul McCartney in the 70s by Tom Doyle. It looks like a real good read.
I want to get that one, yeah.
Specifically about his 70s years, which is very good. And also, from that era is a great book called Guitar with Wings, a photographic memoir by Lawrence Juber.
Juber.
So you get a lot of pictures, but when you dig into it, a lot about Lawrence Juber.
Yes.
So it's kind of like how big of a fan of Lawrence Juber are you will determine if you want this book or not. And it is not an unpricey book. Right now, it's running at about $40.
Oh, wow.
So, but lots of photos. So if you like photos of Paul in Wings, you know.
And back to
during
the
Juber years.
Yeah.
The only other thing we mentioned in the previous episode that's sort of a Beatles-related release is that With a Little Help from My Friends... by the Flaming Lips and Friends.
Right.
So, and I just brought that up again so I can say Friends.
Just so you could say Friends, yeah. So before we're going to end with looking at a couple of non-Beatle releases. We each have a special pick to go out of the box. But if you had to pick, let's say the top two or three of what we just talked about, you had to, you know, the essentials of the year, what would you say of anything Beatle-related?
If you have a record player, go out immediately and buy at least one album. I would recommend starting with Rubber Soul in mono and see what you think. Compare it to other old stuff. That would be my top thing to recommend. Mm-hmm. My second thing to recommend would be absolutely... positively get Venus and Mars.
Yes,
I just think it's a must have release. We'll dig into it someday a little further in depth.
Next year will be the 40th anniversary, so we'll look at it next year probably.
Yeah. What about you, Dave?
I'd go with those two. I'd also probably throw in the George Dark Horse and Extra Texture albums just because to give it a fresh listen again. Because they've been out of print or really hard to find for a long time. And then probably of the books, I'm really curious myself to get that Man on the Run book about Paul's 70s years. I think would be really interesting. It gets really good reviews.
Yeah.
So
steer clear of the Japanese box set.
Yes.
Too pricey.
Yeah.
Now, as far as this year in music, otherwise, it's been... big, a lot of releases for classic rock albums and stuff that we both like a lot. The Velvet Underground has a new sort of box set that I'm intrigued in. I'm really, really interested in the Led Zeppelin re-releases. They really do it right with like a full disc of very good bonus tracks.
And that's because Jimmy Page was the one doing it, like, completely.
What are a couple that you've been wanting to get or have gotten?
Well, the big one kind of leads into my selection here is the Bob Dylan basement tapes bootleg series. They finally released, this has been, everyone's known about this for years, how after he had a motorcycle accident in 1967 and then spent some months with the band in upstate New York recording all of these tunes, and some of them came out in the 70s on an official release that Robbie Robertson of the band kind of put together, but it's not until now do we get the complete box set of everything that that Bob Dylan and the band recorded together in the basement of Big Pink, which was the house that they were in. And so that's a very exciting set. You can either get the complete set, or there's a kind of highlights from, if you just want to get a sampling of it. But one of the songs that was recorded during those sessions that later became pretty famous is I Shall Be Released, and it's been done in many ways, but and the band recorded it themselves. But one of my favorite bands is Wilco, and they're a Chicago-based band. I've seen them almost as many times as Paul McCartney, actually, I guess 5 times, and been a big fan for many years. They started out as alternative country, and then just became kind of experimental and really brilliant songwriter, Jeff Tweedy. But they released a box set and a greatest hits album this year, and the box set has rare stuff on it, rare tracks, including this one from a live performance of I Shall Be Released with the Fleet Foxes, who are a really great rootsy vocal and kind of Americana group. So
love them.
Yeah, great stuff. And so I thought we would listen to a little excerpt of Bob Dylan as performed by Wilco and the Fleet Foxes.
They say everything can be replaced. They say every distance is not near. So I remember every face of every man who would be here. I see my life come shining from the west down to the east. Any day now, any day now, I shall be released. They say
wow, that sounds really great.
Yeah.
How big is that set? It's a
four-disc set from Wilco. Yeah, it's very, very comprehensive. And then the Dylan set is also big. So those are my two big picks for non-Beatles songs. Although there's a funny connection because Ringo actually played, if you ever see the movie The Last Waltz, the band's last concert, Ringo's playing drums on that particular song. So...
That is funny. Yeah. It also is funny because I selected a song completely not thinking about what you were going to select or anything like that. But last year I went to a concert called Americana-rama.
Yeah.
And the poster said, beat me there, meet me there, beat me there, or something like that. And on this ticket was Bob Dylan. He closed the show. Pretty poorly, too. It wasn't the best Dylan performance I've ever seen. Wilco.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I'd seen Wilco.
Yeah.
And My Morning Jacket. But opening the show was Richard Thompson.
Oh, one of your favorites.
And Richard Thompson later came out and played a song with Wilco called Sloth, if you're familiar with that. And it was just a knockout, like 15-minute awesome, amazing guitar solo in it.
Cool.
So just a phenomenal thing. Well, this year there's been a Richard Thompson release, but not just Richard Thompson, but his ex-wife Linda Thompson. They used to be Richard and Linda Thompson back in the 70s. Their son Teddy Thompson.
Yeah.
Brother Jack and younger sister Cammy and her husband James Wilborn and nephew Zach Hobbs Collectively, they called this album Thompson Family. Mm-hmm. So the album is called Family, and the first track of the album, sung by Teddy Thompson, remembering that Teddy Thompson is the son of Richard and Linda Thompson. This album starts this way, and you'll hear a little name drop in there from Teddy Thompson that is familiar to everyone. So here we go. Here's Family from Thompson.
My father is one of the greats to ever step on a stage. My mother has the most beautiful voice in the world. And I am betwixt and between. Sean Lennon, you know what I mean. Born to the manor, never quite clamoring free. It's family. It's family.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah. Little Sean Lennon reference there. So.
Yeah, that's really a nice connection. And I like Teddy Thompson's voice. I remember him, he sang a song on the Brokeback Mountain soundtrack, and I really was struck by his voice.
Yeah, he definitely inherited his mother's voice, because she's got a tremendous voice, and his father is like one of the greatest guitarists of all time. So yeah. It's
good
just
genes.
Definitely, I'd go pick that up. The only other album I'd really recommend from this year is the Sharon Van Etten album, Are We There, which I saw her in concert. I was kind of ill that day, and I didn't want to go to that show. And then I went to it. It was just amazing. I just think she just keeps getting better and better, and every year her material just keeps getting bigger and better. So, pretty good year of Beatles releases.
Yeah.
For us, or Beatles related or tangential Beatles.
Well, it's funny. Both our picks have Beatle connections somewhere in them. So,
yeah.
Like it was just meant to be serendipitous here. So, yeah. Very good.
I forgot to mention when we played it at the beginning of the show that the Flaming Lips and Yoko Ono song is on a Christmas collection called All Is Bright, which is available on Amazon. But we'll close the show as we did last year. Maybe become a tradition.
This is a tradition, I think. We've got 13 tracks on his album or something like that. So
so we got 11 more years where we're going to close the show.
Yes, because Ringo has been kind of quiet this episode. We have to let Ringo have the last word.
Yeah, so here's Ringo Starr. From his album, what was the album's name?
It was called "I Wanna Be Santa Claus."
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and last year we played "I Wanna Be Santa Claus," I believe.
That's right.
This year we'll play a Blue Christmas. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
So blue, thinking about you. Decorations in red on a green Christmas tree won't mean a thing if you're not here with me. I'll have a blue Christmas, that's certain. And when we're blue,